噔噔噔噔噔噔噔噔噔噔噔噔噔噔。
That's right. This is a very special edition of Breaking Kayfabe Radio, a rare, an incredibly rare movie review. Review, whatever it is, you know. I just like to talk about things. That's right, baby. After 10 years, isn't that crazy? 10 long years, we finally got a solo Batman movie. And boy, was it needed. Now, before I get into this thing, first, obviously, spoilers, kids. This thing's going to be loaded with spoilers. Although, you know, it's not a Marvel movie where it's like, dark, dark, dark. But yes, spoilers. I have no notes, no nothing. This is going to be a mess. This is a disaster. This is just raw emotion. I'm spilling out into the microphone, baby. I got my iced coffee here with me. A swig of water for the working man. And I'm ready to go. So, okay, The Batman, directed by Matt Reeves. Before I get into it, I want to say it was good. It was, I'd say, very good. I enjoyed it. I think this movie was a breath of fresh air for the superhero genre, you know. And I like most Marvel movies, but boy, have they gotten formulaic, you know, and even... You get a little tired of people in life and death situations being like, oh, geez whiz, oh, you know, it kind of wears on you a little bit. It is one studio pumping it out. And even the DCEU movies, Wonder Woman 84 was god-awful. But we're on an upkick, baby. We're on an upkick. Suicide Squad was good. Peacemaker was great. I loved Peacemaker. So we're on an upkick, but this was just a totally different superhero movie. This was dark. This was realistic. This was noir. This was slow. This was a slow fucking movie, but I think it works. So yeah, just let's get into it, man, because there's so much hype surrounding this. We're all starving for Batman, even though we have three fucking Batmans going on right now. Now, let me say... Obviously, there's going to be comparisons to The Dark Knight, you know, because it's so close together. It's our generation's Batman. For me, this is not The Dark Knight. Doesn't touch it. I don't think anything ever will. The Dark Knight was the single greatest movie theater experience of my life, period. You know, I was just at the right age of 19 where I was... old enough to understand the performances and the nuances and the storytelling, but dumb enough to still not see the very obvious twists coming. Dude, I thought Commissioner Gordon was dead. Excuse me, Lieutenant Gordon at the time. Turned to my boy, Steve, at Steven Orellano, the co-host of the show, even though we haven't done it in two fucking years. I looked and was like, wow, I guess Gordon's dead. I guess those other shots in the trailer were fake because we were 19 and stupid. But just that movie was a totally different beast, man. It had been 18 years since we saw The Joker. It was a completely different look at Batman. That was the first time we saw a truly realistic Batman. I mean, that movie was just perfection. Obviously, it's not a perfect movie, but to me, it was perfection. And just, I've never had so much fun in a movie theater. And I probably never will until I have kids, you know. And I bring my kids to Godzilla versus Superman, Attack on Titan, Fast and Furious Revenge, and I just sit there and share it with them. But yes, nothing will ever top The Dark Knight for me. Now, this movie does have a lot of similarities to The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises. I mean, because it's the same guy and the same characters, so of course there's similarities. But let me get into it. Let's start off with the Batman himself, Robert Pattinson, who I saw The Lighthouse recently. He's a great actor, okay? If you're still someone going, hey, Sparkles, he's in Twilight. You're an idiot, okay? The guy was getting paid. He was getting them fucking Twilight checks. So much money those terrible movies made. Swig of iced coffee for the working man. He's also Cedric Diggory. Never forget that. But I think he was very good in this. He was a very different Bruce Wayne / Batman than we've ever seen. This is a younger Batman. This is an angrier Batman. even a slightly less focused Batman in parts, we're seeing him kind of learn and make mistakes in this movie. He's, you know, he's not the Batman that we know yet. Even though the Dark Knight trilogy had some of that too, I don't know, I felt it more here. You know, I felt it more in his relationship with Alfred. He's a little pissy. He's a bit emo. He's like, whatever, Alfred, you're not my real dad. He literally says that in the movie. So, you know, we're seeing a younger Batman. And, like, we see Batman. This is gotta be by far the most Batman we've ever gotten in a movie. Easily. He is Batman, I'd say 70% of the movie. And only 30% is he Bruce Wayne. That's, I mean, blows out any other movie, I would think. Back in the day on Kevin Smith's podcast, they did, like, the math. And it was, like, 19 minutes of Batman and Batman Forever and, like, stuff like that. But this is, he is Batman the whole movie. And this movie is a crime, murder, drama, mystery, noir, thriller, wings and stuff. This is, it's very Seven, really Seven. I mean, there's some scenes that are straight pulled out of Seven. Very Saw. The Riddler's got some Saw in him, but, like, I really enjoyed seeing Batman and Gordon. They're really a team in this. Like, they are Batman and Robin in this. They're doing this together. And I really liked Gordon. I liked his, I'm getting too old for this shit kind of vibe. And they say it straight up. They only trust each other. So, very, very, very interesting to see them really working through these mysteries and making mistakes and solving them and trying to get ahead of the Riddler and, like, all this other stuff. So, he was great, Robert Pattinson. Like I said, this is all over the place, but he was very good. Does not really do a Batman voice. He kind of just, it depends on who he's talking to, but he kind of just talks like this. There are certain points where he slips, he's like, what are you doing? And, like, it made me giggle a little bit because he wasn't doing it the whole movie. So when he just slipped into, like, you know, it was funny, but he was very good. He really was. And I think I love that Batman suit. I really do. It's armor. The fight scenes were really good. Batman takes a beating, man. Like, it was very Arkham City, Arkham Asylum games, you know, like, Batman gets hit from the back, you know, like, he's built to take hits in this suit. Like, there's no way you're gonna stop every hit, and he knows that, and that's what that suit is built for. Yes, yes, why don't you shoot him in the chin? I know, but whatever, we gotta take some liberties, you know, it's a movie. It's the guy gets shot on the first night out in real life. But anyway, very realistic fights, really enjoyed that. Light on the gadgets, not too much gadget stuff. He uses his grappling hook, like, twice. It is very realistic. Like, most of the movie, Batman's just standing there trying to figure shit out, watching tweet videos and, like, just standing there brooding. In, like, the opening of the movie, they really play with the fear he instills in criminals. And there's just this great shot of this one guy. You know, he robs a store and he looks up and he sees the bat signal and then he just looks at an alley, this pitch black alley, and the fear of, oh shit, is he there? Is he there? And, like, you kind of get inside the mind of what it's like to be a criminal in this city where there's this guy who's, like, probably not going to get you, but he could. This urban legend of the Batman. So I really, really enjoyed that. They did a great job with Gotham City. You know, someone I watched, the Critical Drinker, who I love on YouTube, who's very, you know, he's very pessimistic and cranky, but I like it sometimes, because sometimes I need things to be pointed out to me, but he pointed out that the Nolan trilogy, Gotham kind of lost some of its gothic charm, and just became New York City. Very clean, not very scary, and I was like, oh yeah, that's kind of right, you know. And I'll argue a little bit, like, but that was the progression of the trilogy. Like, Batman and Dent and Gordon kind of won and cleaned up the city. So that makes sense. But I totally get what that criticism is. So this is a dirty Gotham. It still looks real and modern, but it still has that very gothic vibe. That very big buildings and just scare. Like, parts of it are just dark and dirty and very... And, my God, his penthouse, Bruce Wayne's penthouse, is terrifying. I don't know how he lives there. I guess because he's a Batman. Sweet ass coffee for the working man. So very good. So yes, Robert Pattinson was very good. He could have been a little bigger, I guess. Some people lay that criticism on him. He stayed a little thin, but whatever, man. He's wearing a big robot suit. But yeah, just his presence and the way he walked around, and like, this is, again, the most Batman we've ever gotten. Daylight Batman. Batman just standing in a room. We've never really seen that. You know, like, we got a little bit of it in The Dark Knight when he's taking the bullet things. And he's drilling out, and he's like, hey, what's he doing here? But, like, there's, like, 60 people, and he's just walking through the room. So it's a different take, very different take. And his relationship with the police and shit. And, dude, Batman gets knocked out. Like, he barely makes it a couple times. He uses, this part was, I laughed. He uses, like, a hang glider suit, like a flying squirrel to fly, which is realistic. People use that. And they do a shot. It's just stationary on his face. This was funny. I laughed. It was a funny shot, but it works. It was very good. So, yes, Robert Pattinson, two thumbs up. Rest of the cast. I thought Colin Farrell was great as the Penguin. You know, he was kind of funny, like just slight moments of comedy in there. He was just enjoyable to watch. He could still go fuck himself, though, because he's this gorgeous actor, and he's playing this hideous man, like... come on, I couldn't have played the Penguin, dude. Like, hey, I'm on the Penguin. Whatever. They clearly wanted to go with like a bigger guy. His name's Oswald Cobblepot. I guess let me tell you the plot real quick. Very long Halloween. They also did keep in some voiceover for Batman, which I don't think we've ever gotten in a feature film, which I really enjoyed. The first thing is October 31st, Halloween. This city is filthy. Something like that. I was like, oh, shit. I actually could have done with a little more voiceover. Because they use it a couple times, I would have actually liked it more in the movie. But anyway, that was really cool. But the Penguin was, he was dope. They clearly set him up to be like a big bad as the movies go on. But anyway, the bottom line is, the Riddler's a serial killer. And he is a serial killer. He's going after all the corrupt politicians, the corrupt mayor, the corrupt DA, Carmine Falcone, who's basically the godfather that runs the whole city. Selina Kyle, Catwoman, is his illegitimate daughter. She teams up with Batman to try and, you know, figure this whole thing out. Gordon, they try to unravel this whole mystery. And at the end, turns out the Riddler was just pulling Batman's strings the whole time. They get him to do what he wanted. And then, you know, and it's, that's it. And then Batman saves the day. So very, a lot of twists and turns in this plot.
Drink a hat card for the work, man.
Let's talk about the Catwoman. She was very sexy. Zoe Kravitz, I believe. Very, very sexy cat lady. Oh, mama. She was very good, very enjoyable. Again, similar beats from The Dark Knight. You know, not similar, but it's similar beats because it's based on the same goddamn character. So what are you going to do? It's like, well, if they reboot Thor, be like, he's got a hammer again. This is, they're just copying. But anyway, she was very good. I liked her more than Anne Hathaway. They even brought some real-life politics into it, like white privilege and the corruption of the 1%. And it does not feel forced because it's true. And that's very much the story of Gotham. And that's very much what Batman is fighting against and also has a personal stake in because he is part of that. He is the 1%. Catwoman even says those white privileged assholes. And it's not forced because it makes perfect sense in this city when you're seeing the mayor who's corrupt, the DA who's corrupt, Carmine Falcone who just keeps getting out of jail, all these old white men, you know, who have all the power and then everyone else is left with nothing. Like, that's real, man. Like, that's real. And that's been one of the driving forces of Batman since year one. So you're talking the 80s. So it belongs. It is not forced. It's not, you know... Some people get mad sometimes. They try to force diversity politics into movies where it just doesn't belong or where it's not needed or where, you know, I'm saying, not that we don't need those things in movies. Careful. Careful. Careful, Chris. Careful now. Careful. But it belonged in this movie, and it made perfect sense, and it was part of the plot. So, yeah. So she was great. Again, very sexy. Very, very sexy. Very Catwoman. There was even some cute moments. You know, and I felt the chemistry between Batman and Catwoman. I really did. you know, he helps her. And, like, yo, Batman's, like, a real dude in this. Like, he's still the Batman, but, like, he's just in your apartment. And he's like, all right, we gotta go. Like, I don't know. It's kind of hard to describe until you see it. But very much like the comic books. Like, they don't feel the need to keep him hidden in shadows the whole time. And, you know, like, I'm over here. What did you do? Like, he approaches people much more human in this. So it's very different. But there's, like, even moments of levity where he's in Catwoman's apartment. He's like, got a lot of cats. She's like, yeah, I do. You got a lot of bats, you fucking dick. But, yeah, she was great. Carmine Falcone, John Turturro, I believe. He's also a great actor. I've always had trouble taking him seriously just because the first thing I ever saw him in was Mr. Deeds. So every time I see him, I'm just like, oh, very, very sneaky, sir. Let me touch your feet, Mr. Batman, Mr. Bruce Wayne. Very, very sneaky, sir. But he's great. He plays a great godfather, kingpin, all that stuff. The Riddler. Scary. Scary, man. They went full-blown Saw serial killer, and he's not even in the movie that much. I think you go, like, 40 minutes without seeing him. But I think it was very well done, very realistic. He is the king of the school shooters, it turns out. Again, very Seven. There's even the scene where they break into his apartment and there's nobody there and they're going through the notebooks and reading his notes. I got a little confused on how he knew everything. Basically, the Riddler was an orphan at the Wayne Orphanage after the Waynes died. The orphanage went into whatever. There was no money, so they were all left to hell. And then he would watch the news, and everyone's like, oh, poor Bruce Wayne. Poor Bruce Wayne. Oh, what's he going to do? You know, and that pissed him off, which you can understand. And then, you know, he's insane. I believe he's an accountant, and then somehow he discovers the Renewal Fund, which was something Thomas Wayne started for his mayoral campaign, which after he died, basically everyone just stole from. So the Riddler's motive was to expose all of this and then kill everybody and use Batman, and he likes Batman and they want to be buddies. Or he wants to be a buddy with him. It was cool. It was very well done. You know, go see it for yourself. But the scenes of his basically terrorist and murder videos are, like, disturbed. There's, like, the very first shot of him is legitimately scary. Like, it's a jump scare. And you go, oh, shit. His costume was great. Very, very, again, realistic, duct tape. Brutal. Violent movie, too. Not crazy violent, but the parts where it needed to be violent, it was violent. Yeah, he was creepy, man. He really was. And then once you get the mask off of him, and, you know, again, it's going to draw comparisons to, you know, Christian Bale and Heath Ledger in the interrogation room, but we get the Batman and the Riddler, and he's just fucked up, man. He's just a crazy dude. He's a very school shooter, and that's literally what he tries to set up. You find out that he has all these followers on whatever, like the dark web, and that's like the big twist. Batman figures out that, with a lot of help from the Riddler, the Riddler's like, oh, you're kind of stupid. You didn't figure this out? He figures out that he had this whole plan to, like, blow up the river, and it was going to flood, and he was going to get everyone into Madison Square Garden, and then his school shooter boys are just going to pop, 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 and then, like, kind of don't know what after that. They only was, like, 30 of them with rifles, but still, creepy, very realistic, real-life fears, real-life politics. Yeah, he was good. He was really good, and, I mean, listen, he's no Jim Carrey, okay? I really miss the cane twirls. Okay, I missed the top hat or the bowler hat, whatever it was. But, you know, he did all right. He did all right. But, no, very good. Very creepy. I'm trying to think if I'm missing any Riddler stuff here. I really enjoyed the bomb scene. There's a scene where he kidnaps the DA, and who's corrupt, straps a bomb around his neck, and he has to answer these riddles. Basically, it gets to who's the rat, the big rat that he's protecting or something. And he won't say it because he's like, if I don't say it, I'm just going to die. But if I say it, my whole family's dead. So he dies. He blows up. Kill the DA. Who could take his place? I wonder. and actually knocks out Batman, and the police take him, and they don't take his mask off. And again, this movie, this is something I've really appreciated from both the Dark Knight trilogy and this. They really emphasize how fucking important Gordon is to Batman. He does not work without Gordon in real life. Without that guardian angel, without that guy protecting him and letting him operate, he can't do it. And that was why the end of The Dark Knight into The Dark Knight Rises did kind of make sense, where it's like, I can't be Batman anymore. Because if Gordon has to turn his back on me, I just can't operate. I cannot fight cops every time I'm out. You know, in the real world, like, you know, in the cartoons and whatever, just bat hook out of there. But in real life, it's like, no, Gordon is super, super important to all of this. Yeah, so I really enjoyed the way they emphasized that. And, like, the bomb scene was real cool. And, like, again, Batman gets knocked the fuck out. And, yeah, the Gordon-Batman relationship was dope. It was dope, man. So it was very good. It was very good. I was not disappointed at all. I guess let me get into some of, I won't even call them negatives. I'll just call them creative decisions I would have done differently. It was too long for me, man. It did not need to be 3 hours. There was a lot of stuff I felt could have been just shortened, not even cut, but there were some conversations where I was like, oh man, this is kind of still happening. And that's just me. You know, I'm a cranky old man. I got shit to do. Not even. I just don't want to sit in the same place. But it was definitely a little too long, at least for me. I'm hearing everybody else saying, oh, it just flew by. Awesome. Good. Great. I'm just saying, for me. And that's sitting in a movie theater having to go to the bathroom. If I'm home chilling, it's probably fine. Like, totally fine. But yeah, a little too long, I'd say. One thing I wasn't crazy about was Carmine Falcone says, basically, the Riddler. Oh, the Riddler's also, like, releasing information on these people after he kills them. All the dirty shit they did. Like, one guy was with a hooker and beat her up, and then the other guy was taking bribes and yada, yada, yada. So he gets to Carmine Falcone. Oh, no, he gets to Thomas. He tries to kill Bruce Wayne. That's another big moment in the movie where the Riddler's going after Bruce Wayne. And there's a moment between Batman and the Riddler where you think the Riddler knows he's Bruce Wayne. And he doesn't. Like, he goes, Bruce Wayne. And then there's the moment where he's like, we almost got him. And it's like, oh, thank God he doesn't know it's me. But anyway, basically the story comes out that there was this reporter who I thought they were going to say was the Riddler's dad. But anyway, he knew that Thomas Wayne's wife, Martha Wayne, Martha Arkham, had severe mental problems. And she was in and out of mental asylums, yada, yada, yada. He was going to expose this before whatever, the big election. So Thomas tried everything. He was like, please don't do this. He tried to bribe him. Guy said, no, no, no. So then Thomas Wayne goes to Carmine Falcone and says, hey, man, can you help me out? Scare this guy. Carmine kills him. So Bruce goes to the Riddler releases all this information to the public. So then Bruce goes to Carmen and is like, is this true? So Carmen's like, yeah, your pops, he told me kill him, crush him, take him out. And Bruce believes it kind of a little too easily for me. And also, by the way, earlier in the movie, Alfred, the Riddler sends a bomb to Wayne Manor and it blows up and it almost kills Alfred. So Alfred's in a coma. Alfred's barely in the fucking movie. But anyway, so Bruce goes to him and he's like, you lied to me. My dad, yada, yada, yada. He tried to have this guy killed. It was all a lie. And then Alfred goes, no, what really happened was your dad was scared. He made a mistake. He told him, you know, just scare this guy and that's it. So Carmine killed him because he knew he would have this thing over your dad forever, yada, yada, yada. So I felt kind of like, if you're going to introduce that, let him live with that more, because that's huge. Thinking the whole reason you're doing this is built on a lie, like your dad was also one of these corrupt people, you know, your mother, or I guess the both of them were not who you thought they were. Like, it's literally two scenes in a row where he finds out and then he finds out, oh, okay, my dad was, he just made a mistake. So, like, I wanted to see him in a 3-hour movie. I wanted to see him live with that a little more. Like, going out there and being like, why am I even doing this? You know, having to stand there and look at Alfred in a coma, the only person who might know the truth, and you can't get it out of him. Like, I wanted him to struggle with that a little more, you know? But, you know, not a huge deal. I did feel like, why introduce that and then erase it in the very next scene? It was a little too quick for me because, like I said, that's a huge thing that attacks who he is. Why is he doing it, you know? And that is something he struggles with this in the first part of the movie. He's like, am I really making a difference? I'm not sure. And then at the end, he's like, I am making a difference because I'm not vengeance. I'm hope. Batman is hope. I just thought it was a little gullible on his part to, like, just automatically believe Carmine and not think, this guy's lying. This guy's a piece of shit. It felt a little out of character for Bruce Wayne, just a little bit. So I wanted to see him either struggle with that or be like, no, that can't be it. That can't be it. I also, just because I've watched so much Batman, they start throwing in Sal Maroni's name, and I forgot who was who for, like, 2 minutes. I was like, wait, who's Carmine? Who's fucking Sal Maroni? I got, like, my brain cramped up. But, yeah, other criticisms, I don't really have any. Honestly, I thought it was very good. It really was. Just maybe a little too long. Oh, no, I actually do have one thing I really, really didn't like. I really didn't like. This is a major spoiler. At the end, after the Riddler gets arrested, he's in Arkham, and his fucking next-door neighbor in the cell right next to him is the Joker. And I forget his name, but he's the pissy guy from the Eternals. I think it was a Scottish guy or Irish or something. And I don't know, man. Listen, every Joker casting, we've been like, no. And we were not really, actually. Jared Leto was okay. Heath Ledger and Joaquin Phoenix knocked out of the park, but I think we were all excited for Joaquin Phoenix. Even if whether this kid's great or not, I just didn't feel the need to go there immediately. You know, like, we do now. This is going to be what? Heath Ledger, Jared Leto, Joaquin Phoenix, this kid. That's our fourth feature film Joker in 14 years. That's a lot. One of the things that made Heath Ledger's performance so special was that was our first Joker in 19 years, our first live-action Joker. A completely different take than we had ever seen. It felt so fresh, so original, so new, and that was part of the mystique and the energy. So, I don't know, kind of, this is obviously definitely going to get a sequel, unless World War III happens, because then Batman's got bigger fish to fry. But I wasn't crazy about that. Like, I don't know if I'm crazy about this kid as the Joker. His voice, he sounded too normal to me, you know. I don't know, like, you need a real goddamn maniac to play the Joker. You really do, you know. A lot of us kind of would like a Willem Dafoe, you know. Hello, Pinkett Spider-Man, come out to play, you know. Or me, I could do it, but, yeah, I wasn't crazy about that. Wasn't. But, you know, the end of this movie does set this up for the Gotham you know and love. Because the Penguin starts off as Falcone's, like, right-hand guy. He's not the Penguin yet. I mean, he's called the Penguin, but he's not like, I'm the boss. He's got no top hat, no umbrella. You know, he's just out there naked. So this sets him up to take over the Empire. And, like, you know, Catwoman's getting under her feet. And, like, the DA got killed. Oh, ho, ho. So, you know, and obviously the fucking Joker's there. So, again, it was very good. It was a very good movie. Breath of fresh air, different take. You know, very gothic. Again, get ready. This is an emo Batman. He's a little emo. He's a little edgy. He's a little cranky. There was a moment I want to emphasize, which gave me chills. The very beginning of the movie, the mayor gets killed by the Riddler brutally. He bashes his skull and puts tape around his fucking face. Obviously a huge crime scene. Batman comes to check it out. All the cops are there, and he finds out that the son found him. So there's this just chilling scene where Batman slowly walks in, and he's just looking at the kid, and the kid is looking at him, and obviously Bruce Wayne knows what this feels like. And there was just that, like, connection. And also it makes you go, is that going to be Robin? Probably not, but, like, is that kid going to be Robin? They got to do it eventually. They're going to make a Robin eventually. So you got to do something that makes sense. But I really enjoyed that moment. Then he, like, does it again at the funeral. as Bruce Wayne. So this kid's got to be like, what the fuck, man? All these people just looking at you. He gave him the look. He gave him the orphan look. Little throwback right there.
Swig ass cuff for the working man.
So yeah, this was a really incoherent rambling. I'm sure there's so much more I could say about this movie. But yeah, no, it was good. It was a good movie. The car chase was really, really fun. The introduction of the Batmobile, you're like, oh yeah, here we go. I will say, little reckless on Batman's part. Pretty sure he killed a couple innocent truck drivers trying to catch the Penguin. Is that worth it? I don't know. I did also like Batman and Gordon just got the riddle wrong, I think, because they can't speak Spanish or something. And the Penguin's like, it's La Luna. What are you talking about? I don't know. But it was good, man. It was really good. I give it two bat thumbs way, way up. Little school shooting stuff in there. A little white privilege stuff in there. A lot of shadows. A lot of fucking shadows. But yeah, it was great. Go see it. Support it. I want another one. I hope. I mean, obviously it sets up for the Joker to be the bad guy in the next one, which I hope. I don't know. I hope they just. I don't know, man. I don't know. How many fucking Jokers? It's money, though. It's not going to stop. It makes money. That's why we're getting three Batman. We're getting three Batman in a year. In a year. And one thing, this is just personal to me. I do think there were some things that were a little lesson for me just because, you know, I've seen The Long Halloween. I've read it. You know, I've read most of these. I know all these, like, big things and you know. So when she's like, he's my father, you know, Catwoman talking about Carmine Falcone. You know, I know this already. So it's a little less impactful. I'm like, oh, yeah, they went with that? All right. You know, I'm personally fucking over familial relationship reveals. Just over them in all of fiction. We need to take like a 15-year break, you know? I mean, ever since in Prometheus, when Charlize Theron was like, father, it's like, who gives a fuck? You know, I'm a little over that. And even like Rise of Skywalker, like Lando Calrissian, there's the one black girl in the universe. It's like, she's my daughter. Like, come on. I'm just over it. It's such weak storytelling, and it's like all Hollywood knows how to do. And like, it's all fan fiction. It's really, it's fucking Arya in a face or whatever. Or Mace Windu's alive and it's Arya in a face. It's the same shit. But to defend this, that is the comics. In the comic books, or at least in The Long Halloween, Catwoman is Carmine Falcone's illegitimate daughter. So like, this is pulled straight out of the comics. This isn't them, you know, making shit up. That's why I was a little worried, because the reporter's name was Edward. And then the Riddler's name is Edward. So I was like, oh no, is that going to be his dad? Is that why he's doing it? Like, I'm over the dad shit, man. No more dads. No more secret brothers. Ugh. There's something else where somebody was brothers. I can't remember. Attack on Titan. They did it right, man. That's how you do a fucking familial reveal. Anyway, this has been, I guess, Breaking Kayfabe Radio with a review of The Batman, a solo review, because it's a solo Batman movie in a world where we're getting fucking Doctor Strange, Wanda, fucking Loki, Professor X, probably Wolverine, Deadpool, Spider-Man, I don't even know who, Tom Cruise, Tony Stark, whatever, fucking, I don't know. This is just Batman, baby. Batman reading shit. That's the name of this movie. The Batman read shit. Okay, so that's it. What's next? I don't know. The Flash movie? No, Kenobi. All right, guys. This has been Breaking Kayfabe Radio. The best wrestling podcast in the world. I'm Batman. I'm Vengeance. I'm Hope. This is my city. Dun, 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 dun,